You know, we're entering what we call the Thanksgiving season, and then it goes right into Christmas. The two used to, as they seem to be apart, but it seems anymore that when you start Thanksgiving, it's just all the way through till the end to the new year. And we deal with a lot of situations and a lot of problems. But during this season of the year, starting at Thanksgiving through New Year's, you know, we need to start counting our blessings. So many times at this time of the year, many people, they're facing difficulties and situations, and they seem to not look at their blessings. They seem to look more at their circumstances and at the situations. And I want to encourage you, no matter what you're facing, I want you to encourage you to be thankful and joyful. You know, if we give equal time, we would spend as much time focusing on God's word and the blessings as we do focusing on our problems and our situations, things would be a whole lot better. Somebody said, well, I can't find anything. Well, he saved you, didn't you? That's the best thing to be thankful for and to count a blessing. And how many of you have a place to live? That's another thing to be thankful for, and that's a blessing. And how many of you had something to eat today? Maybe too much. But that's something that's a blessing. You know, the devil would like for you to think that you're the only one that's in your situation. Quit thinking about that and start thinking about your blessings. He would like for us to take our eyes off of the promises of God and off of our blessings and focus on the problems. He wants us to count problems. We need to count blessings. Amen. You know, we need to think about the blessings of God and not the problems that he's bringing, worry and fear and all that kind of stuff, you know. God wants you to count your blessings. Now, let's go to Psalms 103. That's the only, I'm just going to use this, just talk about this whole script, this whole chat, for these whole first five verses here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, if you've ever studied an eagle, they renew themselves ever so often. They get a new, they knock their beak off, they get a new beak. They get completely, all their feathers come out. They get a completely new feathers, and they're renewed. Well, that's why that he says here he renews us. See, it says that your youth will be renewed. Don't talk or think about getting old. Count your blessings. God said that he would renew us. Amen. Now, I want to read the Message version of this Psalm 103, 1 through 5. O my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I will bless your holy name. O my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins, every one. He heals your diseases, every one. He redeems you from hell. He saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in the presence of the Lord. Come on. Hey, you're always young in the presence of the Lord. Now, actually, this psalm was probably written by David when he was a little more mature. Some people say older. I'll say more mature. We just get more mature. I'm not getting older. I'm getting more mature, you know. And he was becoming more aware of the value of counting his blessings and praising God. you know, one person has said, you know, there's a whole lot of mountain peaks. If you look at the different mountains around, and some of them are higher than the others. Well, it said of all the Psalms of praise, this one stands the tallest. That's what somebody said. I don't know. I really like it myself. He, you know, here we see David endeavoring to praise the Lord and count his blessings in the midst of whatever was happening. We need to do the same thing. Remember, praise the Lord in the midst of your circumstance and forget about your trial. Now, it seems that David was stirring himself up to praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he said, and all that is within me. I mean, he was stirring himself up. He said, listen, I'm going to bless God, and I want to bless him with everything I have. Bless his holy name. You know, some people look at this psalm, boy, that's really a nice little psalm, isn't it? It's really good. And you know, and it's a good song. It's been put to, you know, it's been sung by lots of different people, been put to music. But David here, he is not concerned about how it sounds. He's concerned about praising God. Amen. You know, sometimes you got to stir yourself up to praise God when you don't feel like it. Amen. You know, go beyond the daily routine. You know, how many of you realize that we can slip into a mode of existence and where we, that's just where we go, just what we do every day, da, 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 da. And with no excitement, no expectation, we ought to get up every morning with excitement and expectation of what God's going to do for us that day. Yes. What he's going to bring to us that day. Yes. And too many people are looking at way off in the future. Hey, thank God for the future. Thank God we're going to all make it to heaven one of these days. But I'm living right here, right now. So I want some heaven to go to heaven in, and the way to get it is to praise God and believe what he has said in this word and believe that it belongs to you. Now, some people, they said, well, that's good. I know so-and-so was blessed, but I don't know whether I can be or not. That's why they can't, because coming out of their mouth is the wrong thing. If you want to hear a good message, I preached one this morning. On words and talking about, you know, your words determine your destiny. That was the title of it. You might go find it. It's probably on the archives there somewhere. It will be anyway. It seems that David was grabbing a hold of himself by the back of the neck and shaking it and says, all right, boy, you're going to praise God. You're going to count your blessings and not all of the stuff that's going on. If you read the life and story of David there, as you read in Samuel there, and read from the time he was anointed to be king, way before he ever took the throne, he went through all kinds of stuff. And even after he took the throne, his own son tried to form a coup and overthrow him. And yet in it all, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You know, the tone of this psalm indicates that David had found the secret of living the good life. See, the devil will do everything he can to keep you from getting the good things that God said belongs to you. But David had found out that if he counted his blessings and praised God, that was the key. You know, when you start thinking about God's blessings, even though you don't feel like it, force your mind to quit focusing on your trial, your situation, and force yourself to start thinking about the blessings of God. And if you'll do that and start counting your blessings and focusing on the promises of God, you'll shake off all of those thoughts of depression. You'll shake off of those thoughts of doubt and unbelief. You'll rise up above an offense that somebody has done to you. You'll shake off sickness and disease. You know, I guess I learned it from my dad, but my wife will tell you, I don't ever let anything that anybody says to me that's offensive, I don't let it bother me at all. You know, hey, I have to answer for me, not them. Amen. And if they don't like it, I can't help it. Do you know how many people have told me that they don't like my preaching? I don't let it bother me. Somebody said, well, that will bother me. It don't bother me. I'm not preaching for them. I'm preaching because God told me to preach the word. And if they don't want to hear the word, that's their problem. I'll pray for them. But I can't change their mind. You know, my dad never let any, he never worried about anything. In fact, you probably heard me say this, but, you know, one time mother said to him on the front porch, I don't know, something was going on. And she said, Kenneth, I don't guess you would worry or be upset if me and the kids passed away. He said, why did you used to be upset then? You're gone. That's what he said. I'm serious. You know, he would not let anything upset him. He would begin to confess the word of God over it and thank God for the blessing. See, look at this. Bless the Lord, verse 2. O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Message says, O my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. Now, how many of you work or have worked at a company, and when you were hired through the, used to call it, most of all of us were hired, it was called a personnel department. Yeah. And now it's called the HR department. I don't know what the difference is, but anyway, same thing. But how many of you received an employment manual or some paper or something, and it talked about the benefits that you had from that job? Yeah. Well, right here is our manual, and it tells us all the benefits that belong to us. Now, I have never seen a company that the HR people or the bosses would come down and say, now, wait a minute, you're not taking advantage of all these benefits that belong to you. No. You didn't take advantage of your day off that we said you could have this year. You didn't take advantage of, you didn't take a vacation. You know, that's a benefit. God is not going to come down and make you take advantage of the benefits, but they're there for you. It's up to you to take advantage of that benefit. Hello? Now, some people, there are a couple of these people over here work at Rhema. Anthony and Chris, Audrey, they work at Rhema. They got a badge that says they work at Rhema. Identifies who they are. You got a badge that identifies you. You've been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In that manual, it told them their benefits. When they've worked so long, they get X number of days of vacation, right? And other benefits that belong to them. You see, but I'm not going to go over there and tell them, hey, Anthony, you haven't taken advantage of none of your benefits. No, that's up to him.
Yeah, that's right.
God's not going to come and talk to, we need, see, it's a, forget not all his benefits. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting excited about this. I like what the Message Bible says. Don't forget a single blessing. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, that actually, when you really read that, like that, bless the Lord, oh my soul, there is an intensity there. David was he was intense here. This just wasn't some little frivolous thing. You know, some people, the only time they bless the Lord is when the music starts on Sunday morning or Sunday night. you know, praising God and blessing him shouldn't become a mechanical ritual. It should be something you do all the time. I can't sing very well, but I'll sing along with the radio, you know. I'll listen to the music, and, you know, and I like the older stuff, the old quartet-type music and the older music. I listen to that and Happy Goodman's and the old Statesman Quartet. And then, of course, I listen to a lot of of course, Bill Gaither brought a lot of that back. I listen to a lot of that. I get to singing along with them, praising the Lord. See, I've noticed these younger people, it don't really turn me on that much, but I noticed they love the way their music is. Every one of you, and if you'll go check, every generation, both in the natural and the spiritual, had their music. And whatever generation you're a part of, that's really the kind of music that really, really touches you. How many of you agree with that? Yeah. We must learn to praise God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, all of our strength. You know, even when things are not right, still praise Him. When it doesn't look like it's going to happen, still praise Him. When somebody tells you it's not going to happen, still praise Him. Amen. Don't listen to them. Listen to the Word. You know, get your mind off of the circumstance, off of the situation, off of all the things that are coming at you. A.W. Tozer said, "Thanksgiving has great creative power." It seems that many people have a problem of maintaining an attitude of praise. You know, if you would get conscious of maintaining an attitude of praise, you will find that it would improve your mental capacity. It will change your emotional pattern. From being down here, you'll be up here. It will even cause you to feel better physically. You know, and all of you are going to remember this. We say, used to sing an old song, the chorus of it went, "Count your blessings. Count your blessings. See what God has done." Yeah. That's an old, old song. But it's one that we need to bring back to our remembrance, bring back to our thinking. Now, y'all getting quiet. I don't know whether you're listening or whether you done packed up and went home. When you don't know how to get out of a situation, praise God. When everything is going great and there's no problems, praise God. When you feel good, praise God. When you don't feel good, praise God. Continue to praise God and count the blessings that God has given to you. You know, as I was thinking about this message after I went home after church this morning and sat down in there and looking it over, I got hundreds of pages of messages at my desk. I've got a full stack of books that are about that thick, three-wing binders of messages. I got a cadenza drawer behind me that is this file drawer that is that long and that wide. And it's not nothing in it but messages from years gone by. I've got messages from my father-in-law that I was with for several years. I got a lot of his, when he went to be with the Lord, I got a lot of his messages. I got the privilege of taking this key that I got on this key ring and going down to my dad's office, and there is a file cabinet that is this tall and this wide, and it has four drawers in it, and they're all full of messages. I've got the resources to go and get lots of different messages. Some people think you have to think it up new. No, you don't have to think it up new. If you see something that somebody else has done, you can begin to look at it and it stirs you, then you can preach it, you know. As I was looking at this, and I was sitting there this afternoon before we left the house, and in my notes here, I got, remember all God's benefits in capital letters, bold letters. And I just started thinking. And I went back all the way to remembering, I was born in 39 when Dad pastored Farmersville first time, and then he went back to Farmersville when I was about 3 years old. And I started remembering as I sat there, coming through the years, traveling on the road with him, you know, then where I started, the last church he pastored, I started the school there in Van, and then when he left in 49, and after that, we traveled all over the United States. And then my path, went off to boarding school when I was a junior in high school, and then from there to Southwestern Assembly of God College, and now it's called University. And from there to the U.S. Army. And from there back, and found my wife, got married. And just on and on I went, you know. And I just was remembering and counting my blessings and thanking God for those. You know, somebody said, well, you know, hey, it wouldn't hurt you to do that. It got me excited about, hey, I could see all those years how God had directed my path. Even when I didn't realize that he was directing my path. He was directing my path. You know, I had to leave Bible school in the middle of my senior year and go in the Army. And I didn't understand that. But after, you know, looking back on it, I understand that things that I learned and some discipline that I learned and then things that I learned in working with secret stuff and all of that kind of stuff that I use today. One of the things I learned, when you walk out from that room with those thick walls and that big, thick steel door that an incendiary grenade cannot do anything with. Some of you been in the Army and know what I'm talking about. And then, you know, you can't even think about that stuff. Even if you're with your group that's been working on a project inside of there, and you go to eat, you don't mention it. That's right. So, in fact, I had somebody ask me not very long ago, how can you leave, go out and do these crusades, and then come back in and start teaching in school and preaching here at the church? How can you do that? I said, well, I learned when I was in the Army that if I inadvertently gave out any information, I'm going to 20 years in Leavenworth prison and a $4,000 fine at that particular time. I don't know what it would be nowadays. You can real quick just forget it. So I can walk out of that office in Tulsa and get on the plane and go do a week's crusade, come back on Saturday, preach on Sunday morning, be in the classroom teaching on Monday morning, and all these kids here, most of these here, they've been in my classrooms. But that is, and I count that a blessing because people say, I can't do that. I don't know how you do it. I said, well, it's easy. It's something you train yourself in. Do you realize as you go through life, you get trained in certain things? And I was just giving God glory and thanking him for the blessings. Some of the things that I went through were a blessing because it enables me to do what I do today. Now, I didn't realize it back then, and was it fun back then? No. But I understand now. See, we got to learn to praise God, count our blessings as we go through life. And as you start to look back on them, you'll find you begin to say, and I see some of your wheels turning, some of you beginning to think, and you begin to look back and you see that where you are now is because of what you came through back here. Anybody be willing to raise their hand and say that? Yeah. Hey, that's a blessing. You wouldn't be where you are today. That's a blessing that you can count. Praise the Lord. You know, who forgives all your iniquities. Not part of them, all of them. Who heals all your diseases. Oh, I like this. Who redeems your life from destruction.
Come on.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Who crowns you with love and kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed. You know, somebody was just saying to me the other day, on this last crusade, I think, you know, they realized what my age was. I said, how do you do all that, man? You've preached three nights here, you flew and you preached three nights here, and you flew and you got home, you had one day, you preached in the church on Sunday morning. How do you do that? And they said, you're 80 years old. I said, what's that got to do with it?
Amen.
It says here, your youth will be renewed like the eagles. What? If I count my blessings, give him praise, give him honor, realize that he's the one behind it all, not me.
Amen.
You see, David, first of all, it was important to remember the benefits. Because if you don't remember the benefits, you're not going to take advantage of them. And, you know, we all have been forgiven. We've been shown mercy and grace. I like that. Redeems your life from destruction. The Message Bible says, who redeems your life from destruction is that the King James. And the Message says, redeems you from hell.
Amen.
Now you could take that two different ways. The literal hell or the hell that you're going through now.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
That's right.
We all face situations. You know, He paid the price so we don't have to spend eternity there. God rescued us through his son Jesus. The name of Jesus has been given us to keep, to use in the time of danger. Man, I want to tell you what, when you're facing danger, you don't have time. That down in Texas we say ain't, but where I grew up, but when you're facing danger, you don't have time to call a prayer meeting. You don't have time to go on a fast. When you come around the curve riding a 150 Honda, and you come around the curve between two mountains, and the wind is blowing, and it blows you sideways, you don't have time to pray. You're kicking the ground trying to get that bike straightened up, and you're kicking some gears trying to get another gear. Maybe that'll help. I didn't have time to say nothing but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And next thing I'm sliding toward a 1,000-foot drop. Next thing I know, I hit back up in the middle of the road. My back tire goes, and I go up on the side of the mountain, come back down, and I stop. That's when I was in the Army. I was overseas. and I'm straddling that bike. And the guys there, I was on the tail end. There was about all 10 or 12 of us riding. We'd been down island. We on our 72-hour break. And so they turned around and came back. And then one of the guys shined his light there, and you could see where my tire slid right over the edge. And one old guy said, "Man, those knobs on the side of your tire caught and throwed you back up there." I said, "Ain't got nothing to do with it." I said, "The hand of God did it." I didn't care what they thought. They didn't call me preacher half the time anyway, but I didn't care because, hey, there's no way that that bike stopped by itself. Oh, any of you rode motorcycles? Any of you know when one starts sliding, it's almost impossible to get out to get it back up? Yeah, I did that. I was youth pastor with my father-in-law, associate pastor and youth pastor, and we went down to the place where we had a barge down by the lake that all the church used for stuff, and I had to go down there for something, and it was a cold day, well, it turned cold, and my little brother-in-law that's, I don't know, he must have been about 16 then, him and his buddy, they rode on a motorcycle down there. As on James's motorcycle. Well, they're griping and complaining, it was too cold. So I said, "Okay, you drive my car," and I got on the motorcycle. And I mean, we come into town, and I'm doing 20 miles an hour going around the corner, and I hit somebody had lost oil in the middle of the road, and that back tire hit it, and when it did, chunk. And so I had enough sense. It had a sissy bar on it, so I got my leg up on top. I'm sitting there riding it, and I realized, hey, I'm fixing to hit that curb with that tire, and this thing's going to bounce sky high. So I just laid off of it. It didn't hurt me any. And it did hit that and went up in the air and did $110 worth of damage. That's a lot of money in 67, 68. And it was one of the men in the church. It was his son's bike. And I was making $50 a week as associate pastor. And I had to fix that bike. And I didn't even want to ride it in the first place. I only did it because they was griping and complaining about how cold they were. Well, there wasn't no getting that bike that time. I just that's it. But that's what happens to a bike. It was I've thought of that many, many times and counted my blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. That was a blessing. You know, Lynette's going home from the office. Any of you ever been there in Kenosha Street going this way? And then right down there by that Walmart is Aspen, I think it is. I call it 145th because that's what they called it when we first moved out there. They changed the name. And so she's coming there. The light's green. She can see it. She's coming. But she feels something. Slow down. So instead of holding her speed like you normally would, she slowed down. Just as she got in the intersection, a car went through right in front of her, just inches from her front end, about 100 miles an hour, run the red light. If she had been going, it hit her right in the side. Well, you can count a blessing there. Now let me use that to illustrate another point. Sometimes the Lord tries to warn the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, tries to warn you by saying, oh, that's just me. Come on. I don't know. The other day, it's been a year or so ago, I guess now, maybe 8 months. I don't know. We left the office together, and she was up in front of me, and she called me. I got hung up trying to get out, turn left and get out from the office. And so she called me and she said, "I don't know why, but I just don't feel like going home the way we normally do. I'm going to turn and go down such and such a street." And I said, "Well, if you are, I am." You know? Did anything happen? I don't know. Would it have happened? I don't know. But I know one thing. I learned, and she has learned, to follow the Spirit on the inside. That's something that you can count your blessing. Amen. Hello. You know, You know, it says, goes on here, and it's almost time for me to quit. It says, crowns you with love and compassion. Crown means to reward, adorn, honor, or give legal power. God rewards us and adorns us with his love and compassion. Think about it. Where would you be without God's love and compassion? I like this one. Who satisfies your desires with good things. Oh, there's something to be count blessing about. One of the benefits is, it says, restores our youth like eagles. One of the benefits that God gives us is that he restores to us what the devil's trying to steal from us. He has promised us abundant life. Count your blessings. Remember what God has done. You know, John 10:10 in the Voice Bible says, he fills you with good and beautiful things, satisfying you as long as you live. He makes you strong like the eagle, restoring your youth. Hallelujah. Psalms 103 ends like it starts. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Hello? Yes, at the beginning of the day, praise the Lord and count your blessings. During the day, praise the Lord and count your blessings. At the end of the day, praise the Lord and count your blessings. Stir yourself up always, at all times, in all situations, in every circumstance. Praise the Lord and count your blessings. Heavenly Father, just talk to these people for a few moments tonight to get them to realize that they have had many blessings. And that as they go through situations, if they'll count their blessings and praise you, they'll come out and be able to count the blessing from being delivered from that situation. I thank you, Father, for your many, many blessings that belong to us and all of your benefits in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Anybody get anything out of this?
Amen.
Don't forget, count your blessings. Amen. Well, everybody stand, please. I never like to have a give a message that I don't give an opportunity to find Jesus. Everybody looked around and said, well, I think everybody's saved. Well, I do too, but I'm still going to give an opportunity. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or somebody here that knows what it is to serve God, but you know you're not what you're supposed to be with God, you just need a rededication. Anybody like that, raise your hand. I want to pray with you and for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, does anybody here want to be prayed for healing tonight? If you do, step out and come down here. We'll pray for you right now. Well, raise your hands and thank God for all the blessings. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory.